Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally tonight, as we approach 7 o'clock on this Thursday evening, markets and company news, Simon Brown from Just One Lap is with us. Simon, let's start with a big midnight announcement. The pullback as far as value-added tax is concerned, a real flip-flop there. How's the market seeing it?
Yeah, Jeremy, it is a massive flip-flop, and the market seems a little bit benign to it. I thought we might see some strengthening in the currency as it sort of showed some commitment to the government of national unity. We're not seeing anything there. In fact, the rand is a cent weaker than it was this time yesterday, so no real action happening there. But it does impact the reputation, I think, particularly perhaps of our finance minister, who really was sticking to his guns until the last minute, and as you say, a midnight announcement. And the trick is that this was 0.5% VAT that was going to add maybe 15 billion in a 2 trillion rand budget. It really seemed to be a strange place to sort of strange hill to die on that the finance minister chose.
Simon, overall, the market up around about 0.5% today, led in the main by financial stocks. And I would imagine those sterling numbers from Capitec has got something to do with it.
Yeah, the numbers from Capitec yesterday were just jaw-dropping. I mean, expectations for Capitec are big, but they absolutely knocked it out of the park. That stock trading higher today. Banks generally are looking well today. And the story there is quite simple. I suspect there's still good valuations in the sector. Capitec the exception, but it's always been the expensive bank on our market, and that doesn't seem to concern investors. And then again, you know, I said a moment ago, 15 billion is a small number in a 2 trillion budget, but that 15 billion was going to come from your pocket, my pocket, the listeners' pockets, and that's no longer coming out of our pockets, so we could potentially be spending it and using it to pay down debt. All good news for banks.
It's an interesting model as far as Capitec is concerned, because it's seen the value of multiple revenue streams.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is something which I think all the other banks will really be looking at aghast. They all kind of tried it. We had the bank assurance big drive about 20 years ago. It never really worked. Most of those have been pulled apart to varying degrees. Standard Bank, perhaps the one least. They've obviously got Liberty and Standard, which they now both own. But Capitec's taken their giant user base and now cross-selling them all sorts. And it's everything from an ability to buy and sell shares in the JSE cheaply to airtime and data. And those are just such easy, simple processes that they've made for the users, and it is absolutely working. The question is, when do they sort of run out of things to sell? You know, they've got loans. They've got home loans. They've got vehicle asset finance, etc. Do they at some point hit a wall where there's not much left to cross-sell? Probably not. And they're probably thinking about ideas that are completely wild and crazy, but that could make them significant revenue in time.
Having said that, though, there was also a small dark cloud on the horizon there, and rightly the bank saying that it's not leaving anything to a chance in terms of future development, says it's developed models, for instance, on how our exclusion from AGOA and the withdrawal of US aid might affect its loan book. That's just good practical risk management.
It absolutely is, and it is the hallmark of Capitec. And if we think back to them initially as a microlender, as an unsecured lender, that really was where they came from, and the way that they could manage. And an example, you know, they've got a branch in Gundy Square, and they would allow the manager of the branch to determine the operating hours. So they would be open early in the morning and late in the evening when commuters are moving through. The competing brands were all closed already. But they take it a step further. They could see that they were getting bad debts escalating, particularly, and let's say, at Gundy Square branch, and they could actually turn down the lending at that particular branch level. So it really is sort of, again, the DNA of Capitec, of really managing what they can and looking across much wider than sort of just an end number, which is, this is our bad debt, or this is our revenue and profitability.
Simon, let me pick you up on that phrase, managing what you can. 8 o'clock yesterday morning, there was a call from an investor call from Stephen Saad. He's the Group Chief Executive Officer, founder, if I'm not mistaken, or at least co-founder of Aspen Pharmacare, the big global pharmaceutical company. And after that, the rest of his day, I would imagine, got a whole lot worse.
It did get a whole lot worse. The stock was down a third yesterday, and to rephrase that by a third, I mean 30-odd% down, which is humongous. It's bounced today. It's some 6.5% higher. I listened into much of that call yesterday, and there was clear frustration from Stephen Sard in terms of what was happening. He obviously had a contract. The thinking is it was the Moderna contract, that they're struggling, that it was a take or pay contract, which means that there must be a breach somewhere. Aspen must have done something in Moderna's eyes to break it. But the second part of the frustration was that he can't tell us much. He couldn't tell us it was Moderna. He couldn't say what the problem was. All he could do was say what the potential implication was going to be. We're talking a couple of billion rand in revenue. The bigger problem that he has is twofold. One, he's now got that capacity which he needs to re-let out at his sterile facility in France. That doesn't happen very quickly. And I think the market, maybe the market's tired of promises coming from Aspen over the last couple of years, particularly about their sterile facility, one down in Cobeja, the one in France, and just not getting the traction, just not getting what they're promising to do. You've built it. Now that you can start adding capacity, as you add capacity, your margins improve. We just haven't seen that capacity coming through.
And 22 billion rand wiped off its market capitalization. That's a punch to the gut.
It absolutely is. I mean, it is. And to be clear, Steinhoff was fraud. This is not fraud, but it's those sort of numbers. I mean, it is that sort of staggering level of destruction of value. I mean, it literally lost a third of the business. I was looking at the long-term chart. The share price is back to where it was 5 years ago, which was just, you know, early days of the pandemic.
Simon, just a couple of other things. I see that Kumba has maintained its full-year production guidance, and Anglo-American Platinum's first quarter production down by 8%. Again, that was kind of expected, wasn't it?
It was. I would have hoped that we could have seen a little bit more efficiency on that Sodana iron ore line, which might have helped things. But that is, it's improving, but I think it's improving slowly. And I suppose that's fair. I'm not a train operator. I imagine you don't just turn around that on a dime. Anglo Platinum down some 8%, mostly attributed to very, very heavy rains during the period. But also that kind of helps in a market where PGMs are under pressure. Well, if you produce a little less, that creates a little less demand into an oversupplied market.
That's where I'll leave it. Simon Brown from Just One Lap. We'll talk again next week. Appreciate your time.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And that's where we're going to leave Hot 102.7 Business with MoneyWeb for this evening. We're back on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Good night to you. Thank you for listening, and stay invested.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.